In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yesterday, if we took time out to remember, it was the saints we recalled. Past they went in a wonderful procession of the eccentric and the glamorous, the studious, the courageous, and the impossibly holy. I amused myself by imagining them dancing together in heaven in unlikely combinations. St. George and St. Joan, St. Francis and St. Teresa of Avila, St. Cuthbert with his otters, and Mother Teresa. I'm sure you can think of others. But today is not about those larger-than-life characters, but the ordinary folk, the ones who matter to us because we knew them, our parents and grandparents, our friends and colleagues, our brothers, our sisters, our children. If our faith is strong and our culture is courageous, we may be able to say of them, they have gone to glory, and imagine them too dancing in heaven. But that does not prevent us from lamenting their passing. And today, among many days, may be one when you revisit the grief of loss. The writer of the Book of Lamentation knows it well. He recalls the affliction, the restlessness, the grey days which dawn with dread and end in weariness. Worst of all, perhaps the saddest words that can be spoken, "Gone is all I had hoped for in the Lord." The loss of hope is the loss of all that lies at the heart of our faith. We're so turned to the future, so orientated to look forward to what we might share with those we love, that when the future is suddenly bereft of them, that is the hardest thing of all to bear. It can unsettle and undermine our faith. Loss is disorientating. Life becomes strange and unfamiliar. We may have a sense that we don't even know what it is that we have lost, as we realize that the fragment of life we shared is just that. We may have a sense that we have lost ourselves. We may have a sharp sense of promises unfulfilled, projects unrealized, and dreams that are now just dust. How do we find hope when it seems lost? For the writer of the Book of Lamentation, all that he could do was to hold on to the God he knew, a God whose love never ceases, whose mercy never ends. All he could do was wait for the salvation of the Lord. It's not a bad place to start, and for many people it will be as far as they can get. I remember vividly taking the funeral service of a friend who died of cancer in her early 60s. Her friends were a not untypical gathering of atheists and agnostics who came to church on that day because that's what you do in a village, but who had no Christian faith of their own. At the end of the service, the village doctor came to thank me for my words, and I was surprised because I knew that he had no faith, and I made a remark to that effect. "Oh yes," he said, "but even I need hope." But where might we find hope which goes beyond that kind of nameless, shapeless longing today? Where do we find the hope that lies at the heart of the Christian faith? Hope in the promise of Jesus, realized in his resurrection. How might our hope take shape, gradually coming into focus? Perhaps as we look towards the east end of the cathedral this evening. Here is the light that lightens the Gentiles, the light that dawns after even the darkest night, the light of the world, Jesus Christ, our light. In some extraordinary, mysterious, impossible way, that light came into the world again on the third day after his death, to signal a new light into which all his brothers and sisters could be drawn forever afterwards. I'm not sure that we can see him clearly in that light. Like Mary at the tomb, our eyes are so often clouded with tears or shaded by fear or disbelief. Perhaps we may just see the light out of the corner of our eyes, or catch the whisper of his voice calling our name. Perhaps its warmth may flicker in our hearts as they're touched by the words of a hymn, a familiar tune, a loving memory. When that happens, the light is not simply the light of Christ, but the light of heaven, the light of the love into which all those who have died have now been enfolded. The light, which is the light of Christ, enfolds, contains, and encompasses the souls of all who have left this world behind, the ones we remember today. They are caught up in the compassionate, merciful love of God on which our hope is founded. But more than that, they are the living, compassionate, merciful love of God, which exists beyond our understanding of time and space. This is our hope, that the departed are already in the presence of God, and so eternally present to us when we can lift our eyes to behold them in their glory. The poet John O'Donoghue describes the work of mourning like this: sorrow will remain faithful to itself. More than you, it knows its way and will find the right time to pull and pull the rope of grief until that coiled hill of tears has reduced us to its last drop. Gradually, you will learn acquaintance with the invisible form of your departed, and when the work of grief is done, the wound of loss will heal, and you will have learned to wean your eyes from that gap in the air and be able to enter the hearth in your soul where your loved one has awaited your return all the time. And so today, while we lament those we have loved, let us pray for the grace to lift our eyes and open our hearts to the presence of Christ, the hope of the living, the place in our souls where our loved ones have awaited our return all the time, the place that exists in this world and the next, now and throughout all time, in the heavenly embrace of God. Amen.